Choftes Kislev, Hey Chanukah, 7th of December, Rabbi Alan Kimchi, Chanukah and Miketz.
Right, good morning. Good morning, Rabbi Sai.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yeah, nice to see you all here this morning. And Lichtige Chanukah, I think is the right thing to wish you. Lichtige Chanukah, a Yom Tov full of light for Klal Yisrael. It is actually an opportunity to look a little bit more at the idea of light in the Torah. And I'm worried we're doing that in Briyas Ha'ilom, Rashi brings down that there were two different types of light. There was the light of Yom Rishon, Yom Elokim Yihi Or Vayihi Or, and then there was the light of Yom Revi. Like Hashem Baruch Hu created as a Ma'iris, HaGdeilas, HaMor HaGodol, HaMsheres Bayom, HaMor HaKotok, HaMsheres Balayla, the sun and the moon, the solar system. Rashi tells us that the light that we are familiar with is in fact the light of Yom Revi. What happened to the light of Yom Rishon? What does Rashi say? It was Gonuz L'Tzadikim L'Osid Lovay. That the light of Yom Rishon was a light that was Eino Ro'i, wasn't fitting for mankind in general to benefit from that light, because this was the light of the Ein Sof. So you have two different types of light. There's the light of the Ein Sof, which according to Rashi, Chazal, is the light of Olam Haba. And in fact, it's interesting, whenever Chazal make a reference to Olam Haba, we don't understand exactly what's happening in Olam Haba, but Chazal referred to it as Tzadikim Yoshvim, the Nenim Miziv Hashchina. That the Ziv Hashchina is the radiance of the Shchina, and that is the light of the Ein Sof, and that is the light of Yom Rishon. But the light of Yom Rishon is not the light that we are familiar with. We are familiar with the light of Yom Dalet. In actual fact, there's an interesting Machlekes Rishonim, brought down in the Tus in the Nuntes, about how to make the first of the Birkas Kriya Shema. Hamei Elo Oreb V'Adorim Oleho is actually a bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us light, right? And Yotzeh HaMa'iras, when we end the bracha Yotzeh HaMa'iras, one of the Ma'iras that we're talking about is the sun and the moon, is the solar system, right? So the question is about the following line. The line at the very, very end, just before the bracha, is what? Or Chodosh Al Tzion Toyer. What is that doing here in this bracha? So there was machlokes between the Rosh and Rashi. And Rashi Taka said, you don't say that sentence at all, because it's not me'inyan habracha. The inyan habracha is about the light of physics, the light of a physical world, which is the light of Yom Revi. And that's the bracha. And Rashi says the pasuk Archonosh Atiyan To'ir is a different topic completely. It's something else. It's the light of Yom Rishon. It's the light, the Or HaGonuz. The light of the Or HaGonuz. The light that was created and hidden away for L'Osid Lovay, for Olam Haba. And therefore, so that was a Machlokes Rishonim. Interestingly, the Torah brings down that it was ended up being a Machlokes between Ashkenaz and Sfarad. I'm not sure whether this is true still today. He said the real Nus of Sfarad, says the Torah, don't say that pasuk Or Chodosh Atiyan To'ir, because of that shit of Rashi and the Gaonim, that it's not relevant to this particular bracha. I call upon him, we see that this is the light, is the Or Chodosh, is the light of the La'osid Lavoi, and indeed, that's the pasuk in Yeshaya, chapter 60, when Yeshaya says, Kumi Oyri, ki bo oyreich, that Yeshaya Kielu addresses Yerushalayim, Bimosa Mashiach, and says, illuminate the world, the whole Chugoyim le'oyreich. He continues to speak about the Or, about the light of Yerushalayim. What light is that? That's the light of the Or HaGonuz. And whatever image we have of Bimosa Mashiach, what is the light that will attract Amim Rabin, the other nations, to come to Yerushalayim, will be the fact that they will be able to see clearly that the light of Yerushalayim is a different light. It's the light of the Or HaGonuz, the light of Yom Rishon. What has this got to do with Chanukah? So in the Sfarim bring down, I see this in the Bnei Yisoscha and in the Or Gedal Yahu, they bring down that when Aaron HaKohen lights the menorah in the Beis HaMikdosh, the light that came out of the menorah was not the light of Yom Revi, it was the light of Yom Rishon. the Or HaGonos, and indeed Yerushalayim Oyroi Shel Oila, which is a phrase Chazal use, that your people came to Yerushalayim, they could sense that this was a different light. This was the light of the Or HaGonos. And this came through the Menorah, and here comes Chanukah, that since Chanukah Menorah is a Hemshach, as the Ramban says famously, in the beginning of Bal Yischa, the Ramban says that the Menorah, our Menorah is a Hemshach, a continuation of the Menorah, the Beis HaMikdash, so our Menorah also has Me'ein, has a nitzitz of the Or HaGonos to it. And that's a special feature of our Menorah, when we light the Menorah, to have in mind that this will bring Bez Hashem into the world, the Or HaGonos. There's a beautiful diuk that the Bnei Yisoschot brings down, which I like very much, which I might have mentioned once before a few years ago, I'm not sure. But there's an interesting pasuk in Baal Yischa when Aaron lights the menorah, it says, Vayas Kain Aaron. Vayas Kain Aaron. All before she answered, what does it mean, Vayas Kain Aaron? Aaron was told to do 1,000 things. He had to wear special clothes, karbonos, kateris, all sorts of things. It never says Vayas Kain Aaron. And here, it says Vayas Kain Aaron. What is the Vayas Kain Aaron referring to here in the opening psukim of Baal Yischa when he lights the menorah? So he says a beautiful chiddush. Where did Chazal see a diuk in the pasuk in the first day of creation? Where did they see a diuk that the light of day one didn't manifest itself in this world? That it was really left to Olam Haba. Where did they see that? So he says, because every point in Brias HaOlam, when it says Hirokia at every stage along the way, it always says Vayichein, that Vayom Elokim Tache or its Desha, Vayichein, Vayom Hashem Nas Adam, Vayichein, Vayichein. What does Vayichein always mean? It means that the Ratzon Hashem manifested itself in this world. It came to pass exactly as HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to. That's what Vayichein means. So you would have thought on day one when it says Vayom Elokim Yehi Or, it should say Vayichein. And it doesn't. It says, Vayom Elokim Yehi Or, Vayhi Or. It doesn't say Vayhi Chayim. Why doesn't it say Vayhi Chayim? Because, in actual fact, this light of Yom Rishon did not manifest itself in this world. It remained an Olam Haba. Says the Bnei Yisoschot, a Gainus, he says, Vayas Kain Aaron, what does it mean? That word Kain, in Baal Yischa, is the missing word from Bereishis, chapter 1. But it should have said Vayom Elokim Yehi Or Vayichein, and it didn't say Vayichein. But later on, when did this light come into the world? When Aaron HaKohen lit the menorah, Vayas Kain Aaron. Aaron did a mitzvah, which was a kli for the Or HaGonos to come into this world. And similarly, our menorahs have that particular kayach to them, and that's something which is a special dimension to our menorah, which we could bear in mind. What do you say? Lahagid. That's Rashi. Right, Shelo Shina. Okay, all sorts of perushim are Lo Shina. But this is a different mahalach than Rashi. But Lo Shina means okay, all different reasons. He didn't change, that's right. Shelo Shina, that it wasn't a different light, it was the original light. The original light, and this is indeed. I'm sorry?
Olam Haba doesn't exist now?
Olam Haba exists now, but in a different dimension. In a different dimension. It's not something that we can physically, we don't experience the light of Olam Haba in our physical lives. That is the Olam Haba, that's the Osid Lava, either there's Mashiach, or when the Neshama leaves this world, that's the light of Olam Haba. But that's the Or HaGonos, that's something else. Our light is the light of physics, the light of the solar system. Okay. One of the interesting features of Chanukah is Al HaNisim, and the text of Al HaNisim is a bit puzzling in certain ways. And actually, in a sense, it's exactly the opposite of what the Gemara says. When the Gemara says, my Chanukah, and Shabbos Taf Kaf Aleph, so the Gemara says, what is the Nes of Chanukah? The Nes of the 8 days of burning, the burning of 8 days of the oil that should have lasted only for one day. The Al HaNisim actually doesn't mention at all the Ness of the Pach Hashem. Doesn't mention it. Al HaNisim says only that it emphasizes the Hatzlacha of the battle, and that Yehuda Maccabee and the Hashmonaim were able to be victorious over the Yevonim and remove the Shmad, remove the persecution. So exactly who wrote Al HaNissim and where it comes from is also a little bit of a mystery. It doesn't appear in the Shas. It seems to have come from the time of the Gaonim. But it's a very beautiful piece of description of the Nes of Chanukah. But there's also something else missing from Al HaNissim. And that is that I would have thought that one of the greatest achievements of the Chashmonaim was to restore Jewish sovereignty to the land of Israel. The land of Israel had been living under foreign rule for 300 years, since the Churban Bayis Rishon. When they built Bayis Sheni, they built it by kind permission of the Persian government, right? And they were living under Persian rule rather than under Greek rule. And it's only after the Hanukkah story that Jewish sovereignty returned to Eretz Yisrael. And for the last 200 years of the Bayis Sheni, we had Jewish sovereignty only, what? Because of the Malchus Chashmonaim. Why doesn't Al HaNissim mention that? I would have thought that would be the greatest, one of the great benefits of the story of the Chashmonaim. So the answer to this, there are several different ways of looking at this. One of the famous ways of looking at this is to understand the Ramban in Parshas Vayechi on the Pasuk Lo Yosur Shevet Mi Yehuda. On that Pasuk, the Ramban says Lo Yosur Shevet Mi Yehuda means that it's an Aveira for any other Shevet, any other tribe, to take Malchus away from Yehuda. Once Yehuda got the Malchus, no other tribe is allowed to exercise Malchus in Yisrael, and therefore, says the Ramban, therefore, he says, "V'this haya onesh ha-chashmonaim." So the Ramban is fiercely critical of the Chashmonaim, that they took the Malchus for themselves. Right? According to the Ramban, what they should have done was, they should have, after they'd won the battle against the Yevonim, they should have knocked on the door of whoever it was in that generation who was the descendant of Malchus based David, and said, right, we now have an opportunity to restore Malchus. Please, you are a descendant of Yehuda, and therefore I also shevet me Yehuda to fulfill that. What do you say? The Chashmonaim were all Kayanim. They were all Kayanim, and indeed that was one of the big problems of Malchus Chashmonaim, was they were Kayanim. The famous story in Kiddushin of Samach Vav of Yanai HaMelech, that he was also the Kayin, and also he wanted to be also Kayin Gadol and also the king. Akol Ponim says the Ramban, this was a devastating mistake of the Chashmonaim, that they took the Malchus for themselves. So it's possible, just suggesting, that the author of Al HaNissim accepted this view of the Ramban, he accepted the view of the Ramban, and therefore didn't mention the restoration of Malchus Yisrael, because according to the Ramban, that was an Aveira. That wasn't one of their great achievements, that was one of their great mistakes, according to the Ramban. And therefore, it wasn't worthy of mention now, and they said that is a possible interpretation. It's important to mention, though, that this view of the Ramban is not universally held. And it's clear that the Rambam, if you have a look at the Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah, in the first halacha of Hilchos Chanukah, the Rambam brings down a little history of the Chanukah story. And he says, Klal Yisrael was suffering, and they were persecuted, and one thing and another. He gives the whole story. And then he says, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Rachmanos on them, and sent the Chashmonaim. And what did the Chashmonaim do? They did several great things. Right? They got rid of them. They restored Torah and Mitzvahs and Kedusha to the Beis HaMikdash. And then the Rambam writes, and what is the final, in the list of the achievements of the Chashmonaim in the Rambam, what does he say? The Chozra Malchus LiYisrael, no, the Hemidu Melech Min HaKayanim. That's what he writes. The Rambam, one of their great achievements was Vehemidu Melech Min HaKohanim. They established a king from among the Kohanim. Vechozro Malchus VeYisrael Yisrael Mosayim Shona. So the Rambam lists it explicitly as one of their great achievements. So clearly, the Rambam, who was not averse to being critical when it was necessary to do so, the Rambam here accepts that the re-establishment of Jewish sovereignty in Israel by the Chashmonaim was one of their great achievements, even though Hemidu Melech Min HaKohanim. Right? So we need to be able to understand. So what's pshat in the Rambam? Didn't the Rambam know the pasuk Lo Yosur Shevet Mi Yehuda? Did he not know that this was a problem, taking Malchus away from Yehuda? So we have to find a certain perush, a little bit counsel for the defense for the Chashmonaim. I think it's appropriate on Chanukah, what do you say, Rabbi Yisai? It's appropriate on Chanukah to have a council for the defense of the Chashmonaim against the critique of the Ramban. So there are several different approaches to this, for which I need a bit more caffeine. One of my favorite approaches to this is from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky in Emes Liakov. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky asks this question on Parshas Vayechi, and he has got a very interesting perspective on this, which is really a subject for a longer shiur. I'll mention it very briefly. He says it was Yodua to the Gedolei Yisrael in Bayis Sheni that the Bayis Sheni would not last forever, and the Bayis Sheni was a temporary situation, and the Bayis Sheni was not the Geula Acharona. And this is actually a very interesting insight. Let me ask you a question. When Ezra and Nehemiah come back to Eretz Yisrael, Zerubbabel, right? And they build this Bayis Sheni. So they bring Klal Yisrael back to Eretz Yisrael. They're rebuilding Bayis Sheni, right? They've already heard the Nevuas of Yeshaya HaNavi and other Nevi'im, Zechariah HaNavi, about the building of the Beis HaMikdash as being a simon of Mashiach. Why didn't they say, oh, it's Mashiach? Mashiach has come. This is the Geula Acharona. But they didn't say that because they knew that Bayis Sheni was not Mashiach. It wasn't the Geula Acharona, it was a temporary affair. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky that the Chachmei Yisrael at that period were concerned. Right? Who were the Chachmei Yisrael at that period? Right? They were the Tanaim, the authors of the Mishnah. They were concerned that Klal Yisrael might make a mistake and think this is the Geula Acharona, might be Mashiach. They were worried about this. And there were several things, he says, that they did in order to make sure that people didn't make that mistake. One of the things was they preserved the language Aramaic. Aramaic came from Aram, which was a language came from the Golos. Aramaic was the language of Golos. Also, they preserved the names, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, the names of the months, which was from Golos and from Persia. There were several Simone Golos, as Rabbi Kamenetsky, which they bekavona intentionally preserved in order to keep up the message, this is not the Geula Acharona. Says Rabbi Kamenetsky, if the Chashmonai would have restored Malchus Yisrael and put on the throne somebody from Malchus based David, that was it. Klal Yisrael would have said, this is it. This is Yemosa Mashiach. This is what Yeshaya was talking about. This is what Zechariah was talking about. So to prevent that problem, they dafka didn't want to put Malchus based David on the throne, and that was their justification. So this also is a counsel for the defense for the Chashmonaim. It's also a hezba for the Rambam. Why the Rambam is happy with the idea of the Hemidu Melech min HaKoyanim, that he uncritically mentions the establishment of a king from the Koyanim, and he doesn't relate it to the Aveira the way the Ramban does. So I think this is a very interesting insight. Incidentally, there's Arichus Dvarim on this, the Maharal in Netzach Yisrael, chapter 18, has got a whole Mahalach about why Malchus Beis David was not appropriate for the Bayis Sheni period. So the Maharal has his own Mahalach on why the Chashmonaim didn't appoint the Malchus Beis David. I saw actually Rav Tzadok HaKohen's got a very interesting He'orah on this as well. He says, so the Kohanim established a Malchus. Where did they get Malchus? Is a particular koyach, is a spiritual koyach, to be able to successfully have Malchus in Yisrael. Where did the Kohanim get the Malchus from? Right, because Zerah, Aaron were not kings; they were Kohanim Gedolim. So he says, it's true they didn't have Malchus in the normal sense of the word, but they had a mitzvah. He said a little bit of Malchus. Why is that? Because the pasuk tells us that Aaron a Kohen, who does he marry? Who does Aaron HaKohen marry? Elisheva Achos Nachshon. So who was Nachshon? Nachshon was the prince of Yehuda. So his sister, Elisheva, was the princess of Yehuda. She had some Malchus in her. Now it's true, Malchus doesn't go through the female line, it only goes through the male line. But nevertheless, from Tzadok HaKohen is Mechadish, that Elisheva Achos Nachshon brought into the Kohanim a nitzitz of Malchus. A little bit of that power of Malchus came into the family through Elisheva Achos Nachshon, and that is Rav Tzadok's contribution to this.
He was a
Kohen.
What did he say? He was a Kohen.
Rav Tzadok HaKohen, yes, he was very, very makpid on his kohuna. So he knew, is that what you're saying? He knew. Okay. I saw a very nice idea in the writings of Rav Zevin, of Shlomo Yosef Zevin, one of the Gedolim of the previous generation, which I'd like to share with you just for a couple of minutes. On the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, whether we light the menorah Mosif v'holech or Poches v'holech. Do we light on day 1, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, or 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8? That's the famous machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. How are we supposed to light the menorah? And Hillel says that it's Malin Bakedesh Ve'imaridim. Obviously, you increase the Kedusha. If it's Kedusha, you increase it as you go along. So what does Beis Shammai hold about this? So he brings Pari HaChag, the Mismai Polach, but he says a more interesting, and I think an insight into this particular debate. Zevin says, in the Beis HaMikdash, we actually found that the fire being used in two different forms. There was the Eish Tukad Al HaMizbeach. There was the bonfire, actually, on the Mizbeach, which consumed the Korbanos, right? Eish Tomid Tukad Al HaMizbeach LeSichbeh, the constant fire on the Mizbeach. And then there was the fire of the menorah. What's the difference between the fire of the menorah and the fire of the Mizbeach? So he says that the Ikka of the fire, the Mizbeach, was to consume and in some way destroy the Karbonus, to get rid of the Karbonus and to burn them up. That's the burning of the fire. The fire of the menorah was different completely, was to generate light. Wasn't burning up anything, was to generate light. So he says, actually, these two different uses of fire represent Sur Meirav Asetai. What does that mean? That means there are two different functions of the fire of Ruchnius, the fire of the Torah. One of them is to get rid of rishus, to get rid of negativity in this world. Uviarta haro mikirbecha. And the Torah says, uviarta haro mikirbecha, ubiarta is a lashon of fire, like mavaya with an iron, right? To destroy it. Uviyata Aromi Kirbecha, right? V'chola Risha Kulo Ke'osham Tichle, right? The Risha in this world should be consumed by fire. So there is fire which consumes. And the greater the fire is, the more it can consume. And as the fire proceeds to burn, the Risha gets less and less. On the other hand, there is the fire of the menorah, the fire of light, which continues to generate light. And as light increases, it lights other lights, and it gets greater. So he says this was actually the machlokes between Shammai and Hillel. When the Chashmonaim were successful in Hanukkah, there were two functions happening. One function was Uviyarta Romi Kibecha, they destroyed the Tumah. They destroyed the Yevonim, they got rid of the enemies of Klal Yisrael, they got rid of the Avodah Zorah out of the Beis HaMikdash, and that's what we're celebrating. We're celebrating the power of the fire, if you like, of the Chashmonaim, which was a fire which consumes the evil in this world. And that is, he says, that is, so then on day one, we should have the biggest fire possible. And then as the days go by, the fire can get smaller as the rishus gets less and less, until finally the end of Hanukkah is completely gotten rid of. So it starts with a big fire and it diminishes because it is successful in getting rid of the rishus. That's Beis Shammai's view. Beis Hillel's view is, no, it's true we got rid of the Ra, but the main force of the Chashmonaim was to create the light of the menorah. And the light of the menorah gave light, which was then spread throughout Klal Yisrael, and was Mosif HaHolech, which increased all the time. And that really, at a deeper level, is the understanding of this particular machlokes. We've only got a few minutes left. A couple of minutes left. I can't say nothing at all about Miketz, because it's in the title of my Shia. Miketz, I have to say something about it. So I'll just mention one word about Miketz, which I think is particularly interesting, and that is that in the story of Yaakov and his sons, with regards to Yosef and Mitzrayim, there's one big chiddush which has got very interesting ramifications for all future generations. Yehuda is mechadesh something. Yehuda invents a new word in Parshas Miketz, and that new word becomes a Yesod HaYesodus for Klal Yisrael for the future. What is that word? Yaakov and his sons were stuck. On the one hand, they were starving, and the only food available was in Mitzrayim. On the other hand, Yaakov wasn't willing to endanger Binyamin. So it was a stalemate. Yes. Who broke the stalemate? Yehuda gets up and he says something completely new. He says, "Vayomi Yehuda Yisrael Aviv Shilcho Hanayati Onochi Ervenu Miyodi Tavakshem. I'm going to be an Ori." No one had ever said that before in the Torah. I'm going to be an Orev means I'm going to take full responsibility for his well-being. I'll put my life down on the line in order to save him. Immediately, Yehuda says this. Yaakov agrees. You can go. We're now safe. What has happened here exactly? Something very, very interesting has happened. That Yehuda has created a whole new concept. I saw some of the Froshim bring down that this was a tikkun of the Aveira of Cain, when Cain said, Ashoma Ochi Onoichi, am I my brother's keeper? That Aveira is deeply rooted in human nature. To be egoistic and say, I'm looking after myself, he can look after himself. What's his well-being going to do with me? That's Cain. Ashoma Ochi Onoichi. The tikkun of that was Yehuda. Onoichi Ervenu Miyodi Tabakshenu. Yehuda said, yes, I am Shoma Ochi. I am willing to lay down my life. And therefore, as soon as Yaakov heard this, he let them go. Interestingly, next week, Sedra, when Yehuda's giving his passionate speech, Vayigashed of Yehuda, begging mercy from Yosef, Yosef is unmoved. Yosef doesn't do anything. He says, no, v'nafsho kashur v'nafsho, my elderly father will die if Binyamin doesn't come back. Doesn't say anything. Only when Yehuda says, ani oravti es hana, when Yehuda tells Yosef, became an orei for Binyamin, then immediately Yosef is satisfied and he reveals himself. You see, the Arvus was the Mafteach, both for Yaakov and for Yosef. They understood that this was the real tshuva. The real tshuva, which was the future of Klal Yisrael, which became later on, if you look in Rashi, Parshas Nitzavim, La'ovrucho bivris in Nitzavim. What is the bris, says Rashi? It's the bris of Klal Yisrael Aravim Zebazeh, the final bris that Moshe gives to Klal Yisrael, is if you want it for Klal Yisrael to last throughout the Deiros, for Netzach Yisrael to happen, can only happen if Klal Yisrael Aravim Zebazeh. Who invented this idea is Yehuda. And it's interesting to note, incidentally, if you look at Melachim Beis, when the 10 tribes are exiled, who is left behind? The only people who are left behind is Yehuda and Binyamin. Why is that? Because the kesher between Yehuda and Binyamin, which is created in Parshas Miketz, that is a kesher la'olam void. La'olam void, and Chazal say that Dafka on the Har HaBayis, the Beis HaMikdash was built on what? On the boundary between Yehuda and Binyamin. That boundary, Yehuda Binyamin, is Kodesh Kadoshim, and the Kodesh Kadoshim was built on that boundary. Why? Because that was the boundary of Kol Yisrael Aravim Zeh Bazeh, and that was Nischadesh in Parshas Miketz, and that was the solution to the whole problem. With the selling of Yosef, Nisparado Achavila, there was hatred and disinterest among the brothers. Now Yehuda brought them back together and created that Arvus, and with that Arvus gave Klal Yisrael a new source of strength, and Bez Hashem, wish you all a Freilich Chanukah, and Orchodosh Atiyantoya, Nizke Cholon, and Meheir Leiroi.